The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
I want to kick things off with our first guest of the Digital Worlds special edition today. And our first guest is Miss Eva Mitchell, the Chief Executive Officer for the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange and the Trinidad and Tobago Central Depository Limited. Miss Eva Mitchell is currently the CEO of the Stock Exchange and its wholly owned subsidiary, the Central Depository Limited. Miss Mitchell joined the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange in 2016 as a manager and market operations with the responsibility of overseeing the daily market operations of the exchange. She has over 19 years experience. Nah, she lied. She don't look like she has 19. You look young. Over 19 years experience, and oh my God, I'm laughing too much. Over 19 years experience in various areas of financial services, such as finance, asset management, retail and commercial banking, and brokerage services. She holds a BSc in business management from the University of New Brunswick and an MSc in international finance from Arthur Lockjack School of Business. In October 2020, Ms. Mitchell assumed the position of acting CEO of the TTSC with overall responsibility for business development and operations of the company and its wholly owned subsidiary, the TTCD. In April 2021, Ms. Mitchell was appointed the CEO of both companies. Ms. Mitchell, how are you doing today?
I'm good, and I'm so happy to be on. Thank you so much for having me. You guys heard me?
Yes.
I can hear you. Yep.
Loud and clear. Loud and clear. Now,
so let me wish a happy International Women's Day to all your listeners and your other guests.
Happy International Women's Day to you as well. We are so excited and so happy that you're here. Can I just say, though, that when the news first broke that you obtained your position, I had a whoa moment.
Recording in progress.
And I must say that not only was it an amazing accomplishment, but I think it really sort of solidified, you know, we don't have enough women in these spaces. It was a sort of come to Jesus moment. So it was, I was thrilled to hear the news, and it just solidified for me, you know, that we need more women in spaces like these. So yeah, I just want to tell you that you inspired me in that way.
Absolutely. Fully endorse that. We do need a lot of women. And the thing is, we do have, and it's something that I'm really, really encouraged by. We do have a lot of women in leadership roles within the financial industry. I mean, just look at our banks, right? Yeah. There are quite a few female CEOs. Look across our public sector. There are quite a few, female leads in parliamentary posts and government posts, you know. And, you know, that in itself is inspiring to me. So I'm happy to be part of that, and I'm happy to inspire.
I love it.
Now, to kick things off, you know, where did your love for finance, where did that start? Because, I mean, I hate numbers, and I feel like the people that love numbers are, like, crazy people. So where did your love for numbers start? Where did your love for finance start?
Actually, I don't really like numbers, you know. It's just something that grew on me over time. But I would say that my journey started with my mom. So my mom started selling in the central market. So every Friday and every Saturday, we would sell. And we started selling off seasonings. So I would be her little accountant and take record keeping and stuff for her. And it's then that I really appreciated the value of record keeping, the value of numbers, and the value of profits and making your money work for you, right? So I remember telling her, listen, we made $100. Yes, you have to put a portion of that back into buying fresh goods and fresh produce for us to resell. But let's do something with the value. We're able to not only make ourselves happier, but also make ourselves more comfortable. So that's where it all started, you know, and that is something that you know, kind of mobilized something inside of me to say, hey, you know what, if I can do this for myself, then I can do it for my wider family. If I could do it for my wider family, then I could do it for an organization. And here I am.
So was this something that you think, I mean, I know you said your mom had you doing this, but was it something that she was pushing on you to do, or was this something that organically came forward from you in terms of that sort of business head?
No, actually, I was just a helping hand. She was the entrepreneur, you know, so I was really just, you know, one of those kids that just wanted to be close to her and wanted to do everything she was doing. So she inspired me and she encouraged me.
Yeah.
May she rest in peace. But she has played a very, very significant part of who I am today.
Did you ever consider pursuing entrepreneurship?
At some point in time, yes, but luckily I always had the opportunity of progressing myself within an organization and then progressing myself within other organizations. And the opportunities were also always something that I felt was meaningful for me at that point in time. I'm not going to say it's not going to ever happen, but I think the experience and the journey has taught me so much that I'm better positioned to do so. So I have no regrets where that is concerned. So many learnings and so many developmental factors and areas that would have contributed to who I am. And I think at this stage now, branching off in any sort of personal capacity can be an option, but I think I have a role. My work is not done in terms of leadership and inspiring and motivating the team.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, so I still have some work to do where that is concerned. I think my job is not done yet.
I love that.
At least not in the corporate arena.
I love that. That's something that I think I can relate to in a small sense. So I'm not working for a company, but I think what I'm getting from you is that you feel as if your time to serve is not complete yet. And I think that is something people who are passionate about what they do and knowing that they have a particular calling, it's not about, yes, profit is great, but, you know, there's something a bit deeper that is just calling you to serve and show up and, you know, be of service.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my journey has not been one where, you know, yes, we talk about inclusivity and we talk about independence and stuff like that. And I'm happy to say, I mean, I've come through the banking system and I've worked in banks where they are fully supportive of that, where it's actually embedded in their policy. And they offer fair opportunity for both genders, male and female. Of course, there are areas where you would face it, and I have faced it, right? But I realized, I mean, coming from an area where I worked with just men, you know, actually two areas where I worked with just men, and you know, they will say things to you, sometimes they get under your skin, but at the end of the day, you have to understand that these are the people that you work with, they're not the enemy, right? You don't need to be like them. You don't need to be like anybody. What you need to do is set a goal for yourself and understand that, listen, working hard, setting an objective, performing in your role and positioning yourself where you just don't perform in your role, but you prepare yourself for the next role. That is so, so, so important. And the people that ought to recognize and see you will see. What is also important and has also helped me in my journey is understanding that I need that mentorship and I need that person to talk to give me that advice and that support, because you can't do it all on your own, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever done it on their own. And there are people that will help. Any successful person will tell you that they have not done it on their own and they would have had some sort of support system, whether it be from male or female. But having that support system and having that mentor was also something that added great value to my development, and it's something that I would want to continue going forward and pass it on, right? Both across both agendas.
Can I ask you really quickly? So we hear a lot about mentorship, and you know it's great to have a mentor and all of that. But how does one go about finding a mentor and knowing that particular individual is the right one for them? Is it solely based on they have the experience in your industry, or are there other factors in play?
You position yourself in certain social circles, and you have conversations about your goals and your aspirations, and the right person will show up. You pray about it. The right person will show up. But I think the important thing is to position yourself not in, in certain social circles, not just internal to your organization, but external to your organization. And that will assist in finding the right person.
All right. I love that. I want to backtrack a bit. So you mentioned something earlier about, you know, what it was like coming up and that sort of thing. So something that a lot of women encounter, and I want to get your input on how you handled it. You have a lot of times when women, they try to be assertive, they try to showcase, you know, their specialties and all of that. You tend to get pushback every so often about, you know, you are too aggressive and that sort of thing. So how do you manage maintaining a particular level of control? How do you manage ensuring that you are assertive without being considered something else, and also internally managing those emotions?
I am by nature a competitive person. I am by nature an assertive person as well.
Right.
I think it's important for you to get your hands dirty in something to understand the journey that it takes to get to where you are. And I think in my journey, getting my hands dirty was not a problem. So whether it be at a supervisory level, a management level, an executive level, you always have to appreciate the journey where it starts and how to get to the end, right? And I think that brings about a level of humility in your interactions. That also brings about a level of respect that you get from others, right? And once you have those ingredients, and of course, trust is very important. People want to know and understand and believe that you are genuine, you are authentic, you are who you say you are, and what you see is what you get. So I think once you have those ingredients, then the cake is ready to serve, you know, basically. But it's not something that you develop overnight. It's something that you have to take time, and it develops over you know, the time, and it develops its course into a great individual, great character, and it really helps you, and it helps the way forward.
So Eva, let me jump in real quick, right? I want to give you, I mean, today's a celebration of women, and I want to give you a chance to pop your collar and dust your shoulders off, right? You have gone from the manager of market operations, and you have climbed up the corporate ladder to the CEO of the two companies. What were some of the biggest milestones and some of the biggest wins along the way for you?
So sitting in this seat, the hot seat for me, had a lot of challenges. I mean, from the time we sat, you had targets, you had a mandate to run the company in such a way where you just don't develop the company, you don't just make the company successful, but you develop the team along the way, right? I would have been prepared for it, but I prepared myself because I'm one where I like challenge. And I see a challenge, I want it, I get it, I do my best, right? So some of the milestones that I have set for myself was to, one, make the exchange as relevant as it can be. And I think and I would not just toot my horn, I think it's a team effort. My team has done an exceptional job in doing so. We now have citizens that understand that a stock exchange exists. If we had asked that prior, let's say 5-10 years, it would not have been the same response that you get now. We have citizens who understand that there's opportunity in the exchange in investing in the stock market. We have citizens that are more aware of their financial independence and more financially literate where investments is concerned, right? We've done a lot of work with respect to access to the stock market and access to information. So right now we have our online trading platform that is performing exceptionally well. you can actually train from the comfort of your phone, from your laptop, from any mobile device, which is something we did not have before. So we're talking about, you know, the milestones, and that is a significant milestone, especially in this era of digital and emerging technology. So it's something that we were so happy to offer offer the market. In addition to which, we have also hosted conferences, right? We've hosted the first capital market conference locally. We've hosted it for the past 2 years, and we're hosting it again this year, and that is our role as an independent and as a regulated, as a regulator, independent entity, to bring the market together. And when you bring the market together, you bring major players in the market, including investors, the banking sector, the brokerage arms, the regulatory arms, and all these major market participants in one room where you have discussions around the relevant topics, including topics that are of national interest. That's something that is overwhelming for us to just even swallow and fathom that we did it, you know, over this short period. So I think, and I'm very optimistic moving ahead in terms of what we have planned at the Stock Exchange and the Central Depository. We have some really strong nation building initiatives that we will pioneer and be part of. And for me, that's a milestone that has been achieved already. And it is inspiring me to move on. It's really good to know that I was part of a team, and I'm part of a team to really have and to be part of these nation building initiatives. It's fulfilling, right? In terms of challenges, you get challenges at every level. You get challenges with everything you do, every project that you undertake. There is a challenge, but you have to build the tenacity to deal with it and understand that you can't deal with it alone. You need a strong team to support and help. And the team wins at the end.
Brilliant.
So, Eva, I want to ask, change gears for a little set for a bit. Now, let's talk about digital trading, right? Because I know this is your forte. Now, in your view, how has digital trading transformed the landscape of the stock exchanges globally? And what impact has it had on the TNT Stock Exchange locally?
Well, I would say locally, we've been doing digital trading since the early 2000s, when trading started across a platform, right? So trading no longer occurs where you give share certificates and you exchange share certificates and you put it on a chalkboard and stuff like that. And, you know, it's no longer open price system. You have a digital account with the Central Depository. Your digital accounts are linked to an electronic trading platform, and you are able to trade within the hours of 9:30 to 12 o'clock, right? So digital trading is not anything new to us. On a global scale, when you talk about digital trading, you have to talk about digital assets, and then you can also talk about, you know, AI. And, you know, I'm a huge optimistic where AI is concerned and where emerging technology is concerned. But we're not there yet from a stock exchange perspective. We started digital trading in the early 2000s. We just launched our online platform, so you have access. And that's the beauty about this technology. Technology allows access, it opens up access so that any Yondo or Jando can have easy access to trading, easy access to the platform, easy access to the market. The important thing that we would want to use these technologies to do going forward is to ensure that you don't only have access to trading, but you have access to information and accurate information coming from the exchange that you can use now in determining what your next steps is in terms of, you know, making that financial decision and that investment decision.
So, I mean, things like cybersecurity have been of utmost, not just importance, but it's been very topical over the last few days and months overall. So I want to know from you, with the rise of digital trading platforms, how has cybersecurity become a paramount importance? Discuss the measures that the TCSE is implementing to ensure security and integrity of the transactions on your platform.
Yeah, cybersecurity is very, as you say, is paramount, is very important for us. We fully understand the risks. And the truth is, everyone is exposed. Everyone is going to face an attack. It's not if you'll face it, it's when, right? So we approach it with that mindset. We do understand the sensitivity of the information that we have. We do understand the sensitivity of our data, and we have been putting a lot in place to ensure that our infrastructure system and our full infrastructure is pretty much secured and protected. As a matter of fact, we use AI. We have a lot of AI tools that we incorporate within that infrastructure protection. You know, and just not just from an infrastructure perspective, but from a governance perspective, because even though you have the right infrastructure, you have to also ensure that there's policies in place around the monitoring of it. And we do have policies in place that will govern that. And the policies require that we do very frequent testing. We shock the system. We do very frequent testing so that in the event that it happens to us, God forbid, we are prepared. We are not reactive. We are proactive, right? So there's a plan in place in terms of what next steps need to happen. There's a plan in place in terms of how we communicate to our stakeholders, how we could communicate to our internal and external stakeholders. And also there's a plan in place in terms of how we approach remedial action, which is very, very important for us. It has become very expensive, but it's very relevant and very important, because protection of our data and trust and confidence, especially as a regulator in the market, is of paramount importance to us.
It's an investment, ultimately.
Yeah.
So how do you see emerging technologies like blockchain? And well, you mentioned AI already, but can you give us a bit more insight into that? And how both can reshape the future of finance, specifically in the context of the stock exchange and depository services?
Yeah, blockchain is something that makes trading more efficient, right? It's something that we are looking at the stock exchange. Like I said, there are steps that need to be taken before we get to that point, because we're not at that point just as yet, but it's something that we're definitely looking at. It is going to reshape, as it has done on a global scale. It is going to reshape how things are how we trade. It is going to reshape the process. Blockchain eliminates a lot of the middlemen in the process that exists right now. So it shrinks the ecosystem. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, that is left up to debate, right? But in a small in a country like ours, it's very small, and in that context, I think it's something that is very progressive for this market, right? And it's something that the exchange will fully embrace at that time when the time is right. But there are certain steps that we need to put in place, not just from an infrastructure perspective. I think we are more there from an infrastructure perspective than we are there from a regulatory perspective. And the regulations around that and the governance around that is very, very important, especially for a country like ours.
Right.
But it's a technology that we will fully embrace. It is a technology that I am very optimistic about. In fact, the exchange will launch a new product this year. That's what we're aiming. And that is a digital product that will sort of springboard into a digital asset. So it will just demonstrate our commitment and our efforts towards emerging technology and innovation. And it's something that we fully support and fully endorse.
I'm guessing you can't go into too much details as yet.
No, not just yet.
All right. We'll definitely
will soon.
We'll definitely have to bring you back on when that has launched to the public to get some more insight. So yes. can you share some insights to any technological innovations or any projects that are currently underway that you are in a position to talk about that aim to enhance operational efficiency and customer experience?
Yeah, sure. I mean, customer experience is very important for us. Trust and confidence is very important for us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that comes from the efficiency of our operation. What we have undertaken since last year was a digitalization project, which will fully digitalize our depository. Right now, we are semi-digital, but we want to be a full a fully digital company empowered by an innovative, creative team. So we're working towards that. The outcome of that would mean that transactions will be processed faster. We are able to scale ourselves in the market so that we are able to now take on more volume of transaction, because remember, on the trading side, we're preparing for that. So we want to prepare for it on the back end as well. And we're able to better support the market and the market players that rely on us for that support. That is supposed to be completed by the end of this year. We're doing it in phases, so there will be some aspects of it that are completed and in place before other aspects. But it's something that I'm really, really excited about, because it will add that level of efficiency. It will add that level of superb customer service. And it will position us not just as a local leader in the space, but a regional leader in the space, because we do have plans to expand regionally as well.
Right. I love that. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, there's been a lot more awareness about the stock exchange and trading and investing and all of that. So what would you tell someone who's interested in getting started about entering the market? And what are some foundational advice would you give them to consider on their journey as they start their journey?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I would say, if it is that you are interested in investing and this is your first form of investments, start with a mutual fund, something that's more stable, right? And start contributing to that mutual fund or whatever fund it is on a monthly basis. So you would have a stable investment. You'll be able to see the returns on that investment. And you have now patterned yourself where you are now frequently and consistently contributing towards that investment and your growth. The truth is, most of these mutual funds have a very high exposure to the stock market already. So you would say that some mutual funds have most of our locally listed companies that are part of these funds already. So you do have an exposure already. So you'd see, by owning this mutual fund, that you have some exposure to the price movement. Once you have that for some time, then you are now conditioned and you're familiar and you're comfortable with the movement and the prices, then I would say branch off into diversifying your portfolio and start investing stock market. And invest in stocks that where you see real value. Most of us patronize a lot of the companies that are listed on the exchange. We buy KFC, we go to Super Farm, we buy rum. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we trust and we have confidence and we demonstrate our confidence in the product by purchasing it. Why not demonstrate your confidence and in the product by actually owning a piece of the company?
Right.
I would also say, along the way, don't take my advice. Go to the broker, a broker who is licensed and authorized to give you this advice, and let them just have a conversation with you around your investment goals and your investment objectives. And also let them, you know, explain to you the risks of investing in the stock market. So because it's something that you have to understand. It cannot be treated as a bank account.
Right.
It's a totally different type of form of investment, and it's something that you have to understand fully so that you don't panic and you understand when there's opportunities. Like right now, we are in the middle of the current market conditions are where we would want to call bearish, where the prices are low, but there's opportunity in low prices. You buy, especially strong companies that you know will continue to do well and perform well, you buy at a lower price. You are able to then benefit from the appreciation in price over time and also benefit from dividend payment that you get on a quarterly or semi-annual basis. So at the end of it, you feel rewarded because you now own shares in a company. You feel rewarded because you held on to these shares and you're now benefiting from additional income. And I've had people tell me, you know, Eva, since I started to invest in the stock exchange, the dividends have been so valuable to me. You know, it's really a form of additional cash flow that I can now use, that I you know, and apply to certain expenses and certain, you know, obligations that I have that I didn't have in place before, right? So again, you have to understand what your investment objectives are, and you have to match your portfolio based on that. So, but my advice generally is to start with something stable, get used to the fluctuation in prices. Once you're okay with that and you condition yourself, because you don't want to just jump into something and then jump up, right? You then branch off into buying the single stocks over the stock exchange. And, you know, you see your portfolio move, and eventually you take advantage of opportunities as market conditions change.
So there's a common misconception that when it comes to investing and investment, that the barrier for entry is really high. And I'm pretty sure that that is something that not just yourself and, you know, your company, but many financial institutions, they try to educate around that. So what quick advice would you give to anyone listening right now, letting them know that the barrier for entry, I wouldn't say it's low, but, you know, essentially anyone can invest?
I mean, I think we broke those barriers when we launched our online trading platform, because it gives access to everyone, to the stock market, right? The barriers to entry, I don't think that they really exist. The stock market is not for the wealthy only. The stock market is for everyone. There is not a profile of custom of a certain client that we want on the stock exchange. What we want is on the stock exchange, and, you know, is our clients who are looking to build their financial wealth. Our clients who want to understand how to take the opportunities on the stock market, and clients who are willing to learn and willing to understand better. And I think with that, you are now empowering yourself and positioning yourself where you can make better financial decisions for yourself. So I think the barrier to entry is really our mindset. It's not any corporate barrier to entry or anything like that.
It's really a mindset. Well,
maybe what I understand is that there are some financial barriers to entry where brokers are asking for a lot of a high minimum amount to open accounts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I assure you that that is not the case for all brokers. Call around and you will find a broker that is suitable for you and suitable for your investment style and what you really want to do. So don't be discouraged by one or two. We have 8 brokers in the market, and I know quite a few of them are actually don't ask for a minimum amount, but they are, and they are very willing to accept you as a client, right? So, like I said, I think the biggest barrier up to entry is really a mindset, and it's changing your mindset and understanding that you have the power to take this step, understanding that you have the power to learn more and empower yourself to make more informed investment decisions. And to not panic.
I love that. So as a successful woman yourself in the finance sector, what advice would you give to other women aspiring to enter into this industry? And are there any specific niches within finance that you believe offer a particularly promising opportunity for women?
The advice that I would give other women is really just to believe in yourself, right? You know, as women, we want to love everybody, and we want to care, and we want to nurture, and we want to help everybody.
Right.
But you have to love yourself before that happens. And it sounds very cliche to say it, but to actually do it, it's not as easy, right? You, as a woman in leadership, you will encounter challenges from both genders, but don't give up. My strategy was always to prepare myself for the next job, for the next role. So while I was in as a manager of market operations, I was already preparing myself for CEO, because I took myself there as best as I can within my power, right? But I also understood that I couldn't do it alone. I needed support, and I got the right people to support me. In your case, and anybody in somebody else's case, it could be a husband, or it could be parents, or it could be, you know, whoever. You will determine your support system. You rely on that support system, and you be grateful to that support system. And also, you understand that, you know, Rome was not built in a day. It takes time. You know, sometimes you want this instant gratification. And when we don't get it, we are demotivated. But you also have to understand that these things take time. We sit back and we could watch other women and say, but look, this one did it in 2 years, 3 years, and 5 years, or whatever. But that may not be the case for you. You have a different journey. And you need to just also, like I said, love yourself along the way, believe in yourself, and understand that you can't do this alone. You need people along the way to help you, and you need a certain type of character that will allow people to want to help you and build you and develop.
Fantastic. I love it. I'm learning something here. So for women who are trying to build a career in this space, are there any resources, whether it's any certifications or courses that you would recommend that they take a look at so they can look to level up and elevate their experience and skill set?
In this space, you mean in terms of the stock market?
Finance on a whole?
Just in finance?
It could be both, actually. Yeah.
Well, in the stock market, I think most of the finance courses or most of the finance certifications or qualifications will have an element of stock market investing, right? But I think most importantly is your experience. Yes, being certified is important, but I think the experience is something that really matters and is so relevant in your development. So ensuring that you work with the right people and you have the conversations with the right people. I remember when I was at the banks, I would take my lunch hour and visit the office of the general manager, the office of the CEO, you know, when I had an opportunity to, or senior managers or so, just to get some insight as to where, what they do and how they do it. And that's how you build relationships, right? So certification is important. And there's a lot of courses there that will, assist you in that direction. But I think an important thing is relationships. That will add value to the experience and will add value to your perspective. You know, when you have to make decisions on your career path, it will add a lot of value in terms of that direction and getting, you know, different perspectives from different people. Everything kind of comes together.
Relationships. I love that. You know, as I was saying earlier, you know, it's all about building community, and this is how we can empower each other. This is how we can elevate each other. So I love that you ended on that, Eva. I cannot tell you how happy I am to have had you here, and I really enjoyed this conversation. And I think it was very impactful and important for other women to hear this and to see where they can aspire and achieve to. So thank you very much, and happy International
Women's
Day.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Guys, right. That was it with us and Eva Mitchell.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.